You can take your Bibles, if you like, this morning and go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 127. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to continue on the subject of the watchman. Now, in part one of this teaching, we saw that the watchman was a literal person in God's word with a literal duty to guard, to be on guard for the people. We saw that a watchman was usually a soldier, but we did see a record in the word where the people of the town were watchmen when the soldiers weren't available. We saw that if a watchman failed at their duty, their life would be required of them. They didn't get a second chance. They would be killed. We saw that sometimes citizens acted as watchmen and that watchmen were relieved by turns. It wasn't laid on one person all the time. We saw sometimes they were stationed on a watchtower. Sometimes they were low to the ground. Sometimes they were high. Sometimes they perched themselves on the walls of the city. Sometimes they walked about the streets of the city, but they were everywhere and they were there to guard and to protect. We saw that at certain times they were on duty to guard the temple in Jerusalem. And we saw that at certain periods of time during the course of the year, the months, that it would be necessary to increase the watch, that they would be on a higher alert. We saw that a watchman was to be vigilant night and day, couldn't take a break. And we saw that a watchman was to be honest and unbiased in what he sees. He had to call it the way it was. We saw that sometimes strangers would ask questions of watchmen. And we saw that without God's protection, a watchman couldn't do anything. That a watchman needed God's guidance and his protection. We saw that a watchman was to sound an alarm at the approach of an enemy. And if he neglected to sound that alarm, he was punished with death. We saw that a watchman sometimes reports to other people, and who he reports to was his leadership. We saw that a watchman not only did these things, but a watchman would bring news of rejoicing. He would bring good news. And that because of his elevated position where he was looking out over the fields, that he would be able to see things before other people would see them. We saw that a watchman endures hardship and the uncertainties of the night, and he looks for the morning anxiously, waiting for his God. And on this part two of this teaching, what I like to do is I like to look at the spiritual watchman of God's word and of God's people. A minister of God's word is called to be a watchman. Now, he may be called to be other things. He may be gifted with other ministries. But all ministers of God's word are called to be watchmen, period. There is not one minister in God's word that has not been called to be a watchman. Some may be called to be apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, etc. Some may have helps of governments, organizational skills, this sort of thing. But they're all called to be watchmen. He's to be a watchman. And his first obligation, a watchman's first obligation, a minister's first obligation, is to always, at all cost, to uphold the integrity and accuracy of God's supreme word. That is his first duty. That is his first obligation. At all cost, in his life, and then in the lives of the people that he ministers to, by his walk and by his service, he is to uphold the integrity and accuracy of God's supreme word. If the minister compromises or continues to compromise on the integrity and accuracy of God's word, you will no longer have God's blessing on that minister or on his work. Listen carefully. Everybody makes a mistake. But if you continue to walk in that error after you have been shown the error of your ways, and you harden your heart, and you compromise on the integrity of God's word, God's blessing will be removed from that man. God's blessing will be removed from his work. You're in Psalm 127. I'll read to you out of the New International Version of verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. You can be at your post. You can stand guard. You can dress the same way, talk the same way, and act the same way. But unless the Lord builds the house, you standing at your post, talking the same way, acting the same way is in vain. Because if God is not in the mix, you are not walking in God's power. You are not walking in God's guidance. The first priority of a minister, of a watchman, is to love and serve God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. You are not to compromise on that. Now, having said that, I also want you to know that this places a minister in a potentially dangerous environment. Unless the minister continues to seek the Lord daily by study, prayer, and purity of heart, he will fall into the snare of the devil. No, I didn't say he may fall. I said he will fall into the snare of the devil. Before long, the minister will begin to operate in his own power or under the power of Satan. None of us are that smart. None of us are that good that we can function without God, that we can function without the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not in and of ourselves able to do spiritual warfare with the adversary. And unless we continue to stay put on God's word, even the best of us will trip up. It's that simple. That's why a minister is placed in a potentially dangerous environment. If he does not keep a level head, if he does not keep himself accurate on God's word, he will stray. That means me. That means any other minister or any other person who's ever been ordained to a service to the body of Christ that has ever lived or ever will live. Even Jesus Christ was tempted. Even Jesus Christ was brought away and horrible things happened to him. Now he's the only exception. And unless we continue to look to him for our strength, we will trip up. Now look at Isaiah chapter 50, please. And this happens slowly. And the adversary is real sneaky how he pulls people off of the word. But unless you stay put, you will begin to walk in your own power, in your own abundance of knowledge, in what you think God's will is. Isaiah 50 addresses this in verse 11. It says, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire." Isaiah 50, verse 11. "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall you have of my hand, you shall lie down in sorrow." In the east, in the morning, when the men would go to work, they would meet at a common place, and if they had to travel through a little path to get to the field so they can get to their jobs, you know what they did? They got their mag lights and they turned them on so they could see where they were going, right? No, they didn't have flashlights back then. So they would get a vine, and what they would do is they would have a common fire, and as everybody got there, they would take this vine and they'd light it on fire, and then they would twirl it like this. And as they twirled it like this, the fire would go, but the sparks would come, and it would glow. And what it would do, it would illuminate the path where they were walking. But it was a very dim light. You understand? It was a very dim illumination. But it was better than nothing. And this is what they would do when they would walk out to the fields, and then the sun would come up, and of course they didn't need it anymore. That's what this is referring to, something that they did. They did the best they could with what they had. Now, how good is that compared to the noonday sun that God provides for us? No comparison, right? But that's what they did. Behold, all you that kindle a fire and compass yourself about with sparks, you walk in the light of your fire. I think somewhere in the Bible it says God is what? Light. We're to walk in God's light. We're not to walk in the light of our fire. We're not to walk in the light of what we think God wants us to do or what we think we should do. We're to walk in the light of what God wants us to do. The result of that, you shall lay down in sorrow. All that walk away from God and walk in the power and light of their own ministry and their own fire, the result of that is that they will bring sorrow upon themselves. One of the problems with that is they're responsible for people. So a watchman brings sorrow upon the people. Please go to John chapter 12, the Gospel of John. You see, when saddled with a responsibility to stand for God and to not budge off of God's word, the adversary is going to do all that he can to get you to compromise on that responsibility because he does not like the word of God. He will do whatever he can to destroy it. But first he has to destroy it in your life and then in the lives of the others of people that you affect. In John chapter 12, and it's always a matter of the integrity of the word. It's always a matter of, do we actually believe that God says what he means and means what he says? Or do we put a but where God puts a period? In John chapter 12, verse 26, this is Jesus' opinion, which I would think would be a good opinion. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father what? Honor. The honoring that God would give unto a servant of Jesus Christ, to the person that serves Jesus Christ, is contingent upon the man what? Serving Christ. What sets the criteria for serving Christ? This book. You understand? This book sets the criteria for serving Christ. If God says we should love one another, we should do this, we should forgive, this book sets the criteria for serving Christ. So when I'm serving Christ according to the word of God, then God honors me as his servant. Okay? God does not honor people because they are committed to their ministry. I don't read that in that verse. There's a lot of committed people to their ministry. But God doesn't honor a person because he's committed to his ministry. God does not honor people who are faithful to their ministry. Doesn't say that. There are a lot of people who are faithful to their cause, sold out. God does not honor people who are sincere, sold out, or dedicated to their ministry. He does not. God honors people who serve Jesus Christ. Now you're challenged with the integrity of the word. Do you believe what I just read to you out of the Bible? Or do you believe something different? The Bible teaches us, the New International translates this verse, whoso serves me must follow me. Follow in my steps, follow me. You know what it is to follow Jesus? It's to act the way Jesus would act. It's to respond the way Jesus would respond. It's to think the way Jesus would think. Okay? Doesn't mean that you have to dress like him or you have to eat like him or you have to talk like him. It means that you have to have the same heart as Jesus Christ has. Whoso serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. That's who God honors. If you're going to be a servant, if you're going to be a watchman, if you're going to be a minister, then you got to do it according to the Word. Not according to what you think, not according to your drive, not according to your ability. That's all walking in the light of your own sparks. You got to do it according to the Word. And if you do it according to the Word, God will honor you. When a leader, a watchman, walks defiantly against God's will, they have no other choice but to begin to seek their own purposes and pleasures. God warns us of this type of watchman. He records it in His Word. Look at Isaiah 56. And it's a sad thing when a watchman who is a leader, who is a minister of God's people, gets off the track. Because unless you get back on the track, you just keep wandering farther and farther and farther away. And then what happens is your error becomes doctrine. And once your error becomes doctrine, you shut people out of your life, people that could genuinely help you. And then you walk in darkness. And you can only walk in darkness for so long, because the laws of God come into play then. We're going to see this. In Isaiah 56, we're not talking about how sincere a person is. You understand? We're not talking about a person get up 4 o'clock in the morning and work to 12. You understand? I worked in a bar room. I seen a lot of people get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and leave the bar at 2 o'clock the next day and go to work. That's not the issue. We're not talking about how good a person looks or how what they can speak or how faithful they are. We're talking about the integrity of God's Word. Are you serving Jesus Christ? God will honor you when you serve Jesus Christ. You understand? That's what we're talking about. And people get mixed up on it. Isaiah 56:10. His watchmen are blind. This is God's Word, not me. His watchmen are blind. They are all what? Ignorant. They are all, plural, because error likes to spread. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb what? Dogs. They cannot bark. You know what that means? When an enemy comes in your house to steal your pizza, and your dumb dog don't bark, what happens? Get your pizza, right? They're all dumb dogs that don't bark. What was a watchman supposed to do? A warning. Bark. It's a warning. They're what? Sleeping. Lying down. Loving to what? Slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They're never satisfied. They always got to have more. They always got to push things for more. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They don't have the ability to understand because they have allowed themselves to slip into this spiritual sickness and disease. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come, ye, say they. Come on, say they. I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as today, and much more abundant. I've worked. I've earned this position. I deserve to take a little bit for myself. Let's have a little relaxation here. Let's have a little fun here. And you know what? Tomorrow will be better yet, boys. They all. When a minister, a watchman, strays off the course of God's Word, God's people are the ones who suffer. The minister suffers, but the people that he is responsible for, they suffer. The minister who once watched over the people now begins to abuse them. Fear then begins to fill the hearts of these good, sincere people. And you know how they respond to this fear that fills their hearts? they begin to follow and worship that minister in place of God because they're afraid, because they've been deceived, because of the spirits involved. Their misplaced loyalty causes them to now lie to themselves. It causes them to lie to one another, and it causes them to eventually lie to God. They lie to themselves. They tell themselves everything's okay. Even when they could see everything's not okay. Even when common sense tells you everything's not okay, you know what they say to themselves? Everything's okay. And then they go to one another, and you know what they say to themselves? It's okay, honey. It'll be okay. Everything's okay. It'll work out. God's in this. God's going to take care of it. And then you know what they do? When God confronts them, when God calls them on the carpet, when God gives them a chance to repent, they lie to God. They say, everything's okay here, God. Everything's fine. Look at Isaiah 57. But God doesn't like that, because people seem to forget about the integrity of God's word. People seem to forget whose ministry this is. It's the church of God. And Jesus Christ purchased it with his blood. In Isaiah 57, look at verse 11. The same kind of junk was going on to the children of Israel. And so God said, well, let me ask you a question, boys. Whom hast thou been afraid or feared? That's what God wants to know. God says to the people, I want to know whom you've been afraid of, whom you have feared, that you have lied and you have not remembered me, nor have you laid it to thine heart. You haven't kept me in your heart. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? Good question. The first word in that verse, afraid, whom hast thou been afraid of? Afraid, you know what it means? It means they were afraid. It means fear, terror. They were afraid of a person, of an individual. And God's God, right? God's looking down. And he's saying to these guys, who is this that you are afraid of? That's what the first afraid means. The second word where it says, or feared, that's the word for worship, or the word that means to be held in spellbound or in awe of a person. So God wants to know because, you know, he's watching things going on in the ministry and into the church. He finally gets ticked off and he tells the prophet, he says, you go tell these people, he says, who are you afraid of? Who is this that you are worshiping instead of me? That you have lied to me? Because the people didn't want to look like they were afraid of somebody and that they were really worshiping somebody who wasn't God. So you know what they did? They lied to God. Oh, everything's okay, Father. Things aren't the way you think they are, God, really. You just don't understand, God. That's what God said. Who are you afraid of? Who made you afraid? Who are you worshiping instead of me that thou hast lied and you don't remember me anymore? That always happens, you see. Because when you have fear and you begin to worship a person instead of the Creator, you know what happens? You forget the Word. And when you forget the Word, guess what? Now the minister can do whatever the hell he wants to do. Because you do not have a standard anymore by which to judge that individual. He can do whatever he wants. It's open season. They didn't want to look like they denied God, you understand. So you know what they did when they were confronted to God? They lied to him. They lied to him. They didn't remember God anymore. They didn't take God in their heart anymore. Oh, sure, they said that we love God. We say God's first. Well, we worship, we praise God, we want to live holy about God. We say all these things. But the truth of the matter was they were in fear. And they were worshiping and following something other than God. God didn't like that. This is exactly what happens when a watchman or a minister goes astray. The people who sit under his ministry usually, in the beginning, start to follow silently. They watch and they wait. You know what they're doing? They're waiting for the Lord to step in and do something to see if something's wrong here. Now, if God does not act immediately, you know what people do? People become dumb. People become dull. They begin to purpose in their heart that no offense is committed here, that it's new light. And the leader then continues to live a sinful lifestyle because nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Watch this. Ecclesiastes 8, New American Bible reads of verse 11. This is what happens to people. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the Son of Man among them are given fully to do evil. Ever see that? You sit there and you watch, how can that guy get away with that for this and this and this and get away with it, get away with it, get away with it, and then you become dull and then you become dim and then you compromise on the integrity of the word and you say, well, nothing must be wrong because nothing's happening. Because the sentence, let me read it to you out of the New Living. When a crime is not punished, people feel it safe to do wrong. That's why I always teach you, when you see the foul, call it. Don't wait 6 months later. When a crime is not punished, you know what people think? You know, it's safe to do wrong. There must be nothing wrong here. It must be just the way things are. And so you know what people do? Because they're good, sincere, loving people who genuinely want to do the will of God, they follow. But they have misplaced loyalty because their loyalty is to the individual and not to God. Not to God. Look at Isaiah 57 again. This is what God's confronting. Verse 11. And of whom hast thou been afraid? Who is the individual that you guys are afraid of? Huh? That's what he wants to know. He's God. Who are you afraid of? He gets up in the morning and puts his pants on just like me. Who are you afraid of? That's what God's saying. Who are you worshiping? You're supposed to worship me. You're supposed to have great love and respect for me. Who are you worshiping that you have lied to me? And you don't remember me anymore? And you don't take me into your heart anymore? Have not I held my peace even of old, and you don't respect me and love me for that? I've been a good guy. I've given you enough rope to change. But see, that's what people don't understand. Look at Psalm 50. And who's the one who's getting disgraced? Who's the one who's being made a mockery out of? Who is the one that's getting spit in the face? But nobody cares. Nobody wants to defend God anymore because they're afraid of what people think about them. You know, I don't give a rat's behind what you think about me. I only care what God thinks. I like to be friendly, but you know what? Not at the expense of God's word. Because I've seen too many bozos in the name of God destroy people's lives for exactly this kind of junk. Because people have fallen asleep spiritually. Psalm 50, verse 21. Isaiah said, have not I held my peace even of old? And you don't respect me? That's what God said. Psalm 50 says, these things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. See, God doesn't always speak up right away. God doesn't always handle things right away. The offense is not always taken care of right away in God's timetable and God's plan. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible in basic English reads this way. Is it nothing to you that God has had pity on you, waiting and putting up with you for so long? Don't you see that in this pity, it is God's desire to give you a chance to change your heart? Because that's our God. That's our God. What people miss, because a sentence is not executed of evil quickly, they think they give themselves, it's good to do evil. And nothing's wrong here. What people miss is that God is merciful and God is slow to anger. He gives his children an overabundance of time and warnings. Why? Because he wants them to repent. He does the same with his ministers. And that's a good thing. And you want to know something? If the guy don't change, that's a bad thing. But that's God's heart. He has to extend it to everybody. Don't you know that I'm having pity? Don't you know that I'm having mercy? Don't you know that I'm extending this long-suffering to you so you can get your head out of your butt and get back to doing the things I've called you to do? That's what he does. And because the people don't see things happen right away, they think, oh, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. It's okay. Ezekiel 33. You gotta wake up. Who is God? Who is your God? Who is your Lord? Who do we serve? See? That's why I don't want a bunch of little mindless people walking around following me, because I'm not your Lord. I'm not your God. I'll help you. I'll direct you, but I don't want you worshiping me. I don't want you looking to me for your answers. I don't have time for all that. You need to go to the Word and make the Word your own. This way nobody can trick you. And when I mess up and do mess up, you can still walk in fellowship. And you could be in a place in your life where you can help me when I mess up. Instead of, oh, he's doing it, so it must be okay. Ezekiel 33, look at verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. This is God's heart. God doesn't rejoice when something bad happens, when a wicked person dies. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. This is what I want, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of what? O house of Israel. Who's he talking to? The church at that time, his people. And his people, the church, God says, turn ye from your evil ways. You mean to tell me the church can actually get themselves in a position where their ways are evil, that God's got to confront them? That there are churches out there this day as I stand and speak that are evil? Anybody can be a success with God. Well, what you got to remember this is anybody can be a failure. And it's not a hard thing to be a success with God. All you got to do is have the right heart. God don't give two beans about how you talk, how you look, or what color you are. If he's got you got the heart, then he can work with you. And you got to keep your heart right. You don't get puffed up. Look at Psalm 103. But God gets blessed when people repent and change. The problem is God gives people time to do that, which is a good thing, because have you ever recovered yourself out of the snare of the devil? Praise God for it, that he hasn't turned his back on us. Psalm 103 verse 8. This is a declaration of the word. This is what God says of himself. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Verse 8, Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Never gets angry. Oh, sorry. What's it say? Slow to anger. He's slow to anger. But let me tell you something. When you pee God off, you have better chance sandpapering a lion's butt and getting away. Because God's not one to get angry. He's plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, because there wouldn't be one of us sitting right here today. Because none of us are good, no, not one. For as heaven is the highest above the earth, so is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Isaiah 57:11 said, have I not held my peace even of old? Years past, I've been putting up with you guys for years. I've been putting up with your grandfathers and your great-grandfathers. Have not I held my peace of old? And you still don't get it. You still don't respect me. I'm giving you a chance. However, if a person who God has held his peace does not respond, person or minister, if they refuse to respond and humble themselves before the Lord in the Lord's timetable, what is the Lord's timetable? I do not know. For you, it might be a day. For me, it might be a year. For some, it might be 5 years. I do not know. But I know this. If a person does not humble himself before the Lord and respond to God's reproof, God will then judge that person. It may take a while, but when you get on the wrong side of God, you always lose. And the judgment of God will come. Go back to Isaiah 51. You know, just how long do you think someone who is supposed to represent Jesus Christ can get away with their evil in the church? Just how long do you think it'll go? Oh, it might go 2, 5, 10 years for some, 15 for others. But how many times in the past 25, 30 years have we watched the TV? And you know what's funny about it? It's always the same thing. It's always the same thing with the ones I watch. Reverend so-and-so of such-and-such ministry caught in a motel with a prostitute. Here's the film. Millions, multi-million dollar ministry caught with a prostitute. Reverend so-and-so of such-and-such ministry cheating on his wife. Film at 6. How many ministries, not just Catholic, Protestant, Church of God, Presbyterian, non-denominational, how many ministries has this slander hit? And it's all over. And it continues over and over and over and over and over again. And it's always the same thing. If it's not women, it's money. If it's not women, it's money. For the most part, it's the guys that screw up. If it's not women, it's money. And they always blow it. Isaiah 51, look at verse 12. God says to him, he says, you know what? I'm the one that comforts you. Who art thou? Who are you? Listen to me. I'm the one who takes care of you. I'm the one who comforts you. What is wrong with you that you should be afraid of a man that's going to die? That's what he says. Just let me show you what's going on here. Wake up. I'm the one you should be serving. I'm the one you should be worshiping. what's the matter with you that you're afraid of a man and he's just going to die anyway, just like all other men? And the Son of Man, which is going to be made as grass. What happens to grass in the winter? It just wilts away. Unless you got a goat, it wilts away. God can't figure it out. He's scratching his head. And in the original, the pronoun is feminine. It's, oh, woman. You're a little girl. No offense against the ladies, but that's what it says. You're a little womanish thing. You're afraid like a woman. That's how he disgraces them. It's such a weak and womanish thing to give yourself to these perplexing fears. That's what God says. Verse 13. You know what? You have forgotten the Lord thy Maker. Remember me? I stretched forth the heavens. Remember me? I've laid the foundations of the earth. And hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. You've been in fear continually every day because of those that oppress you. You know who are oppressing them? Men. As if he were ready to destroy. That's how much they feared. Tomorrow you're going to die. Tomorrow the attack is coming. It wasn't just fear of war. It was in the war, and tomorrow they're going to launch their offensive. That's the kind of, as if it was ready to happen, as if you're going to ready. That's the kind of fear they had. That kind of fear. Then he turns around and he says, where is the fury of the oppressor? That's what he says. You know what he says in English? Where is the big mouth? Where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is the big mouth that you fear so much? Bring him here before me, the one who spreads out the curtains of the sky, the one who sets up the foundation. Bring the big mouth before me. That's what God says. Bring him up. You're afraid of a man that shall die and wither away as grass, and you forget me, the Lord, your Maker? The creator of all the world, the one who has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. And I am the one who have all the host and all the powers both to do of my command and my disposal. And you forget me? And you go and fear a guy? A little grass weed? Our inordinate fear of man is our unspoken forgetfulness of God. When we disquiet ourselves with the fear of man, we forget that there is a God above him. And that the greatest of men have no power but that which is given to them from above. Even the best of us, the greatest. We forget the providence of God by which he, God Almighty, orders and overrules all events according to the counsel of his own will. His own will. We forget the promises that God has made to protect his people because we're in fear of man. And we forget the experiences that we have had in the past that show his love and care and concern for us. We just forget how God pulled us through, how God overcame, how God always delivered, how God was always on time. Why? Because we're afraid of man who's going to die, who wilted away like the grass, and we forgot the Creator himself. Look at Ezekiel 33. This is where we'll close this morning. But you got to get things straight here, people. It's wonderful to honor your ministers. The Word says that. But once you start to place a minister above God, Once you start to place a minister above Jesus Christ, once a minister's name is mentioned more than Jesus Christ, if Reverend so-and-so says this, or Reverend so-and-so says this, or Dr. so-and-so said, how many times did you say Jesus in that sentence? Who? You remember, the Lord. Once you start doing that, you got a problem. See, from where I come from, that's called idolatry. I don't care where you go, but where I come from, right here, that's called idolatry. People talk about people more than they talk about God. People talk about people more than they talk about Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus. That's why you have so many problems. Because if you talk more about God and you talk more about Jesus, you have less problems. You understand? Ezekiel 33, verse 1. I'm not angry. I'm angry at the devil. Okay? Because people need to get their heads out of their butts and get back on the word and nothing but the word. Because once you move off the word, you can't do battle with the devil. You got to come back to what you've learned. And let me puke if I hear the phrase again. Oh, you got to remember the guy who taught you the word. I remember who taught me the word. But who was he? He was a servant, just like I am. Don't give me that crap. I got to remember who taught. I know who taught me the word. What do you think I'm here for? But if he didn't teach me the word, God would have raised me up some other how, because God's not limited to man. How do you like that? You're going to live in the past. You're going to talk about the past like there's some special aura. If you forget, ooh, I don't want to hear that crap. My God's a living God. He could talk to me daily. He'll give me revelation daily. I can function today because I know God's word. Because I study it. Because I made it my own. And I didn't graduate high school. So you all don't have no excuse now, do you? People have turned their back on God's word. And they have followed a man or a woman or a ministry. You ought to get on your knees and repent. And tell God you're sorry. No man is worthy of worship and respect that the Lord Jesus Christ has reserved for him alone. No man is worthy of worship and respect that God has reserved for him alone. No man. Nobody's that good. They're all going to die. They're all as grass. God put them all together. He put them all together. He said they're all going to die. They're all as grass. And you forget me? You forget me? What's the matter with you? What are you saying? Wake up. What's wrong with you? If God gives you a promise, honey, you want to know something? You don't need me to fulfill that promise in your life. Because Jesus' blood already brought it to you. All you got to do is get back on the word and walk out on it. God gives you a promise, sir. You don't need me to qualify it. You don't need me to run it, but you already got it. Don't act like you don't. You already got it. 2,000 years ago, purchased for you by the blood of Christ. You don't need such and such a signature to operate it in this world. You already got it. Signed with the blood of Christ. That's a pretty good pen. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Wake up. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon a land, when danger comes, this is what I want you to do. Tell the people to take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman. Take a watchman, set someone up, set somebody there who has integrity, who's honest, who is not partial, who cannot be manipulated, who cannot be bought, who is not a drunk, who is not, I was going to say, that would be a bad word, right? Sorry. You understand? Who is not affected by drugs and inordinate appetites. Set a watchman there. It's in the Bible. Set a watchman there. And if he sees the sword coming, verse 3, and he blows the trumpet and he warns the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be on his own head. Okay? So if you got the message and you don't listen to the message, then your life and the path that you choose to walk is your responsibility. So don't come crying, this is what God's saying, don't come crying and saying, my life is falling apart because you refuse to do the will of God. That's what the watchman is supposed to do. Now, this is what happens sometimes. They don't like the way the watchman talks. They don't like the way the watchman looks. They don't like the way the watchman yells. And so they blame the watchman so they can dismiss doing the word of God in their lives. That's fine. But God's not going to say, was he dressed nice? Did he talk nice? Did he do this nice? You know what he's going to say? Did you deliver my message? And the watchman's going to say, yep. Then he's going to go to the people and say, you heard the message. Did you believe the message? I didn't like what he was wearing. Elevator down, figuratively, you know. If you hear it and you don't do it, the minister's free from his responsibility. He hears the sound of the trumpet, verse 5, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall what? This is the good part of it. He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Can we say that together? Here we go. He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Now say it like you mean it, and say it like you believe it this time. He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. You see, you receive the word of God can make you whole. But if the watchman sees the sword come and blow not the trumpet because he's asleep or because he's a dead dog, a dog that can't bark, or because he's out indulging in all kinds of wonderful things, or for whatever 100 other reasons you want to give, and the people aren't warned, and the sword come, and it takes away any person among them, and he's taken his iniquity, the blood of that individual I will require at the watchman's hand. You know why? Because the watchman fell asleep at the switch, and he allowed the evil to come into the congregation. So, son of man, verse 7, I have set thee. He's been called. He's being commissioned. This is what he's saying to Ezekiel. I have set you, Ezekiel, as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. The watchman is responsible to hear God's word and then to warn God's people of what's going on. A watchman must be a man of integrity, honest, pure in heart. He must love the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He must be above reproach, a teacher of pure doctrine, and a doer of the word. He must always speak the truth and never fear man. He cannot be bought, intimidated, or manipulated. And he must always seek God first and be an example, listen, be an example to the church by his lifestyle and his service. And when we serve that way, then Jesus will say of you, you are my servant, and my Father will honor you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. And Father, thank you that we need not fear man, and we need not worship man. That we would lie to you, Father, that we would forget you. Father, may we come to you. May we believe in the integrity of your word. May we take your word as your will. May we continue to begin to rebuild the word that has been stolen from us in our lives. And Father, I thank you right now for each person that hears this teaching. And Father, that they would repent, no matter where they are, that they would repent if they have fallen and been deceived into this sin. Because surely you will receive them back graciously. And the latter end of their life, Father, will be like Job. They will have more than what they had before if they would come back graciously to you. Thank you, Father, for each person. I ask your blessing upon them. And I thank you that we can serve you, Father, and only you, in purity and according to the scriptures. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I want to do something now.